What I love about a video like that, every person in here can relate. Every person could hold up their own piece of cardboard and write on it something that someone, and not only just one. I mean, if you've lived in this life any length of time, we understand that, look, we're a broken people. We have been hurt, we have hurt, but let's face it, it's the end of that video that really should speak to us, that idea that there is a chance for forgiveness. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, the power of forgiveness, the need for forgiveness. But here's the thing, especially if the wounds are deep, so often it's easier said than done. And I don't care if you've been a Christian for 70 years, I don't care if you've been Christian for a week, we have to cling and understand the fact how important forgiveness is for us. First, we have been forgiven. That last song we sang, it speaks to the truth of what the cross did for us, the fact that we can have that relationship with God, that we can boldly come before the cross and we can pray and we can have that relationship. It's not because of what you've done, it's because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And so we live as forgiven people. But we can't hold it back from others, because when we hold forgiveness back, there are huge ramifications that go with that. There's ramifications for our walk. The spiritual life, in so many ways, I think, remind me of a dance, right? We understand what that is. The two people, one is leading, and they move together, right? So the spiritual walk, I believe, is the dance, and we're dancing with the Holy Spirit, we're dancing with the Father, and He is leading. Now, even if you've ever danced and you were the one being led, if you instantly stop the dance, would the dance go on, even with the other person leading? No. It ends right there. And so here in the spiritual walk that you are in, part of it is God. There are things that God is doing in your life and needs to do in your life that you can't control, that you can't, I mean, you can't transform yourself into the likeness of Jesus. I don't care how bad you want it. I don't care how hard you work for it. You cannot do that. That is God's. But He does, guess what? It's a two-party, right? It's a two-person dance. There are things that you must be doing alongside. Or again, you can stop the entire process. I would say that not forgiving when God calls us to is a great one that stops that process. Now again, if you're sitting in these pews and you sit in them any length of time, you want to look more like Jesus. You want to grow into what God intends for you to be. In order to do that, we need to do it the way God wants us to. One of the scary things I think I see in our culture and even within our church culture, instead of saying, you know what, this is the way God wants us to and that's what we're going to do, we tried to decide, well, this is the way I'm going to do it. You know, God, you gave us this, but there are certain things in this book that I don't like, so we're trying to do Christianity the way we want to. Friends, it doesn't work that way. God the Creator has shown us the way to move through and to grow in the richness of faith, to grow into the likeness of Christ in forgiveness. Two verses shows you how serious God is about forgiving others. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, then come and offer your gift. Now, how important is worship to God? I mean, honestly, I think you can make an argument. That's really the reason we were created to begin with, to have this relationship and to be able to bring Him honor and glory. And here God is telling us, look, I want your worship, but if you can't come to the altar right, you need to go fix it. Now, I understand that forgiveness isn't specifically talked about here, but reconciliation, come on, that's hands in hands with forgiveness. The fact that God says, I'll wait, I'm timeless. You go and you do what you need to do, because when we are not right with others, it affects our relationship with God. Sin, disobedience, breaks our connection with God. And I will tell you, this is one of those sermons, as I was prepping it, you know, I it's a great reminder for each and every one of us that calls Christ Father, and we are called as Christ followers. This is a great reminder of just the truth of what the Word says. But I will tell you, I truly believe there's a few people that this sermon is absolutely for, and I'm going to tell you, I've been praying for you for this week. Because if God is going to challenge you and call you on this, you don't want to walk out those doors not letting go. Because you will never fully have the relationship that God wants with you if you are stuck in unforgiveness. It affects our way of life. It affects who we are. It affects with our connectedness with God. So I wanted to just help us look at this idea of forgiveness. And I want to show you what forgiveness is not, because I think in some ways we need to understand what biblically what God is calling us to. And there are certain things that I think the world has kind of shown us, or we have expectations that we think go along with forgiveness that we don't have to. So first, forgiveness is not forgetting. When you forgive someone, you aren't instantly going to have that offense wiped away your head. Now, again, I'm not limiting God here. If you forgive and God knows that that's what he wants to do and he causes you to forget that, then praise God, that's a God thing. But by and large, forgiving doesn't mean that offense is going to be wiped away. And I think in some ways it almost seems easier, right? If you knew you have this deep wound, man, you've been carrying this hurt, and you knew if you finally forgave, all that crap that's been piled up were instantly erased from your memory, who wouldn't do it, right? Man, just instant healing and you're done. But I think God intends something more for forgiveness. It's a deeper thing than just moving past. So forgiveness is not necessarily forgetting. Number two, forgiveness is not ignoring the offense. You don't have to pretend that nothing happened, right? I can forgive you, but that thing still is in our past. That offense was made. Because here's the thing. If you forgive if you just ignore that offense, you did something to me or I did something to you and you just ignore it, does it magically go away? Have you ever met a real bitter person? By and large, what's part of that process? Something happened to them and they couldn't let it go. And it just, that root of bitterness just, man, sank its roots deep in there, and it just grows and grows. It doesn't magically go away. And so forgiveness doesn't mean we're just ignoring it. We have to deal with it. Number three, forgiveness is not regaining automatic trust. If you have been deeply hurt by someone, guess what? You forgive them. It's not instantly you're going to open your life and totally trust that person anymore. Trust takes time to rebuild. I've seen marriages restored, and I read a statistic once that for every 5 years of marriage, it takes 1 year to rebuild that trust. So if you've been married for 20 years and some major thing happens in your marriage, it's going to take 4 years of trust building to get back at that point that you were before that happened. Nowhere does the scripture say automatically we have to trust that person. Trust is earned. It's earned over time. And just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you have to trust them. Next one, removal of consequences. Guess what? Just because you forgive doesn't mean instantly everything goes away. I remember as a young man, there was a guy in our church who, and this happened before he attended our church, but I remember talking in men's group, but his daughter was killed by a drunk driver. And man, he had some unforgiveness and stuff. And God, by the grace of, you know, his power, brought him to a place where he wrote that man and said, "I forgive you." Did the man still live out his term in prison? Oh, yeah, he did. But he was forgiven. Sin has consequences. Maybe it happens right away. Maybe it happens down the pike. But just because you forgive doesn't mean everything automatically. Forgiveness is here, doesn't necessarily remove the consequences. Forgiveness isn't instant emotional healing. Again, this is one of those. True emotional healing takes time. And how much control do you really have over your emotions? Now, some of you control freaks would like to claim that because you can bottle and put a poker face on, that you have some kind of control over your emotions. No. They run rapid, right? The good ones and the bad ones, right? We talk about love, and, you know, I love talking to young people before they've been in love. I'll never do that. My boys say it all the time. I'm like, you will be surprised, son, what you're willing to do when you fall in love and how just instantly dumb you will be. But it's wonderful, and you're so happy. So happy. I mean, we can't control our emotions. It takes time, especially the deeper the cut, the deeper the wound. But, you know, and again, in all of these, God could do it. And I think there are times that sometimes God touches a life and instantly it is healed. But by and large, emotional healing takes time. Forgiveness is not restoring the same relationship. I think sometimes we feel and we're hesitant to forgive because we feel like we have to let that person that hurt us back into our lives and in this regular mode. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that. And you know, maybe you can forgive them and never see them face to face. I mean, I understand. We live in a world that heinous things have happened to people. Terrible things. I mean, and some of us, by the time we're ready to forgive that person's dead. I mean, you can't go back. You can't go back and see them. You can't restore the relationship, but you can still forgive them. And so just because we're wounded, and you can forgive someone and never have anything to do with them again, and that still falls in the umbrella of biblical forgiveness. And then finally, forgiveness is not a leverage of power. What do I mean when I say that? Have you ever seen, you know, and I think it's more evident in children because children don't mask it as well. So you've done me something heinous, and so out of the grace of my good heart, I forgive you, but. So I ask you to do something, and you're like, I don't want to do that. Oh, you remember when I forgave you that terrible thing. I mean, I forgave you that. Why would you not do this to me? And it becomes this, I hold it over. Now again, adults, we would never voice that, but there are times we operate in that mode. If you've blown it with someone over and over again and they've forgiven you a whole lot, it almost feels like they have a blank checkbook. Well, you know, I'd really like it if. I'd really appreciate it if. And even if they don't say it, you're thinking, it's not a leverage of power. You forgive to let it go. So if forgiveness is none of these things, then what is God truly showing us out of his word? First and foremost, forgiveness is. It's a choice. And I know that seems like such common sense. I mean, it just seems so simple. God never forces you to do anything. It may be incredibly difficult to forgive someone. I will say that there is even a time that choosing to forgive seems to be more painful than the pain that we are carrying, because we as human beings have a wonderful capacity to just kind of morph into mold, into shape, into our current situation. And we have this pain and we just get used to it. So we've had it for so long, we're just kind of used to it. It becomes part of who we are, and a choice means that we have to change something, we're going to lose something, and we are fearful of that. There are people that are holding on to bitterness because they can't even see themselves without that being a part of their lives. But it is always a choice. God doesn't make us do anything. But the choice is, do we want a true relationship with God the way he intends it? Or do we want to try to do it on his terms? The older I get, the more I read this word, the more I walk in my faith, the more the desire in my heart is, I just want to be with God. I want to sit at his feet. I want to hear him speaking to my life. I want to see his hand at work. I mean, it's that simple. But if I don't, what? Do it the way he wants. There's a wall in our relationship. And he doesn't move. It's not on him. It's on me, because ultimately, it's a choice, but it's a choice to obey. God makes his way clear for us. He challenges. We have to choose to obey. Look at Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. These two verses show a pretty clear path, right? It's one way or the other. We either cling to that bitterness, we either cling to that wrath, anger, and that junk, or kindness, tenderness, being willing to forgive. When we choose to forgive, we're letting go we're choosing to release that injury. Which goes to number two, forgiveness is letting go of the right to get even or grudge. How hard is this one? I would love to be able to stand up here and tell you as a pastor I've moved past this. But if I am honest on a regular basis, even church folk, I want to put my hands around your neck. I mean, seriously, I mean, how often do people hurt you and you get your belly full? And man, you just thinking my fist touching their face would feel good. Oh, so good, Lord. Oh, you're laughing like you aren't doing it. Ha! I don't buy any. We do. It's in our humanness. Someone hurts me. What is my first knee-jerk reaction? We want to bring the pain. We want to hurt them. Romans 12:19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And hear what it boils down to. Can you trust God with it? As deeply as the hurt is, as deeply as the wound is, whatever you are carrying, is God trustworthy enough to deal with it in his way? Can I leave it with him? And again, there are times I leave it with him and I snatch it back and I have to keep giving it to him over and over. But it really comes down to that. Can we believe that God is a just God? Can I leave it in his hands? And not only that, it's not only letting that desire for revenge go, but it's really feeling, you know, So one is me putting my hands on their neck. I'll go one step farther. Okay, Lord, you've got this, but then just sit there waiting, going, I can't wait. God, you're going to do it, but I want that front row seat. I want to see that happen, right? You've been there. And yet, to truly forgive means to just leave it. I will tell you, a surefire way, if you know you've truly forgiven someone, when you think about them, that angst, that desire to watch them get theirs is gone, and you can actually leave them in God's hand and say, Lord, bless them. That's a work of God. Again, depending on how deep the pain is, but forgiveness is letting it go. Letting go of the even, letting go of the grudge, letting it go. Forgiveness is also the removal of a roadblock. Now, I started comparing this series, that idea of that relationship with God is like a dance. And I think it fits here again. God wants to work in your life in amazing ways. He wants to transform you into the likeness of Christ. He wants this intimate relationship that he's doing life with you, and he's walking along, and he's pouring in your life, and you're worshiping him, and it's just this beautiful dance. But when you choose to stop, it all goes. Because God doesn't force anything. And so unforgiveness, and here, you've been walking this path, and this has even happened to me. I've been going along pretty good. And then all of a sudden, God shows you you have unforgiveness, and you've totally forgot. Something's happened in years in the past. But I will tell you, if you walk with God and you continue to open your heart to him, going, Lord, what are the things that are keeping me from you? Guess what? He's going to answer that prayer. And he's going to show us things. And if we see this, that we have been carrying some unforgiveness, it is going to be a block until, and God will say, you know, God will say, hey, I'll sit here and wait until you deal. I'm timeless, right? So, hey, we've done some great work, man. You look way more like Jesus than you did 10 years ago. But hey, here's the next thing. And you go, no. So God says, what? All right, well, wait, we'll sit. So we have this roadblock. We have this thing that is stopping from us from moving forward. Romans 12:18. It is possible for, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. There is no true peace in this life if you are carrying unforgiving spirit within you. God's intention for you is to live in peace. Now, we see that verse 2 gets this. You might forgive this person, you might make amends, and maybe they're not going to budge. That verse tells what? Your end of the deal. As far as it concerns you, what you can do, you can live in peace, you can let it go, you can give it to God, and if that person chooses not, that's on them. You can't change another person. Even if you have forgiven them and you've asked for forgiveness in return, and they absolutely refuse it, you've done everything you can, you give it to God, you let it go. And when that happens, when we forgive and we remove that roadblock, Look at what else happens. We move forward toward healing. The older I get, the more I realize life is short. And if we live in this way and we carry junk, we are just throwing away parts of our life. Parts where God can move, parts where God can be right with you, and we're just hurt and we're wounded and we just cling to that thing. Here's an example. You know, if you want to deal with unforgiveness, I think carrying something against someone, go home, get a 25-pound bag of potatoes and tie it around your neck and go throughout the rest of the week. Sounds like fun, right? Unforgiveness is a weight. It affects, it brings pain, it's inconvenient, and it affects everything. Here's the thing, I don't care how, and I know, again, there are people that have gone through things that, praise God, I can't imagine, but I can stand here and say, God is bigger than anything you've ever been through. Anything. And God can bring healing to anything you've been through. God is bigger. Yes, you might have to forgive that person 100 times. You might have to just keep running to the Father and saying, Lord, you need to help me. I forgive them. And God shows up in the midst of that. That's why he challenges Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before you. You are on a, you're running. God has a path for you. He has intention for you. And notice that the weight there is, it's every weight and sin. So he's not talking, the author here is not talking, sin is a weight. There are things that weigh us down that God doesn't intend. Not forgiving, I think, can fall in both of those categories. It'll weigh you down, it'll suck the life out of you, and you will have a limited amount of time. Then we finally get to that point when we can forgive, again, with God's strength and all that thing. Forgiveness is also an opportunity to display grace. I don't know if we can ever fully understand the power and the extent of God's grace on the side of heaven. I mean, think about it. I mean, we know the junk that we've done, and no one in these pews know all the junk that we have individuals have done. And frankly, none of us want the other people sharing our pews to know all the stuff that we've done. But the fact that God's grace has covered all that and it's already enough to cover every other sin and mistake that you're going to make the rest of your life, and then let's multiply that by 6 point whatever billion over the course of human history, and God's grace doesn't run out. God's grace is sufficient, right? We believe that. Every person we ever come against, we know that God can save and has enough grace. We need to forgive, because I will tell you, if someone doesn't know God yet and you're willing to forgive them something, that's a picture of grace. That's a way that they get to see Jesus Christ. That might be what takes them to kneel at the cross, is your willingness to forgive them, your willingness to live that out in front of them. Paul understood this. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. Is forgiveness hard? Absolutely. But again, our God is bigger. Can he truly bring you peace, joy, and freedom? Yes, he can. We need to choose it. And even though this verse doesn't directly go with the forgiveness, the next verse in this I think is important because it brings it all together. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. God's desire for you and me is love, not only for him, but for one another. And when it brings unity, it brings harmony. And when we are carrying something against someone else, it gets in the way of our willingness and ability to truly love them. I don't know where you're at this morning. And again, I really felt like this sermon was just that great reminder for all of us, but I really felt like there's a few people that God really wanted to show something to you in your life. It's time to let it go. It is time to allow the Holy Spirit to pry your fingers back and just to let it go, to receive the joy and the peace and the freedom that your loving Heavenly Father is just waiting to pour into your life. I don't care what it is. We worship a God that is bigger and can see you through. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, you are a big God. You are a great God. You are a loving God. Lord, you have forgiven us and in ways that, again, that blow our mind. We don't fully understand how much grace that you have. And yet, for those of us, Lord, you might be calling us right now. The Holy Spirit might be pressing heavy that we have been carrying something for too long, and we need to finally just allow your strength to allow us to forgive that person. Give us that strength, Father. Because again, you never intend us to live that way. You don't want us to be bitter. You want us to shine your light, to be your reflection. And so for those individuals, Lord, I just ask that you pour out your grace, your strength on them. Let them truly be free in your power. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.